The service lasted an hour, and Malone and the others followed the brothers underground into the Hall of Fathers. There, the coffin was placed in the loculus beside the former masters. Then they headed outside to their cars. Malone noticed a calm in Mark and a thaw in his relationship with his mother. "And what now for you, Malone?" Cassiopeia asked.
"Back to bookselling. And my son is coming to spend a month with me."
"A son? How old?"
14 going on 30. He's a handful."
Cassiopeia grinned. "A lot like his father, then."
"More like his mother."
He'd been thinking about Gary a lot the past few days. Seeing Stephanie and Mark struggle with one another brought back some of his own failings as a father. But you'd never know it from Gary. Where Mark became resentful, Gary was brilliant in school, athletic, and had never once objected to Malone moving to Copenhagen. Instead, he'd encouraged him to go, realizing that his father needed to be happy too. Malone felt a lot of guilt about that decision, but he looked forward to his time with his son.
"Going to be a good time," he said.
Malone, Stephanie, and Henrik would drive to Toulouse and catch a flight to Paris. From there, Stephanie would fly home to Atlanta. Malone and Henrik would travel back to Copenhagen. Cassiopeia was headed to the chateau in her Land Rover. She was standing by her car when Malone walked over. He remembered telling Stephanie when he retired that he was fed up with the nonsense. She'd smiled at his naivete and said that so long as the Earth was inhabited, there'd be no calm place. The game was the same everywhere, only the players changed. That was okay. The experience of the past week had taught him that he was a player and always would be. But if anyone asked, he'd tell them he was a bookseller. Simply easier. "Take care of yourself, Malone," Cassiopeia said. "I won't be watching your back anymore."
"I have a feeling you and I'll see each other again."
She threw him a smile. "You never know. It's possible." He walked back to his car.
"What about Claridon?" Malone asked Mark.
"He begged forgiveness."
"And you graciously granted it."
Mark smiled.
"He said Drohokfor was going to roast the skin off his feet, and a couple of brothers confirmed that. He wants to join us."
Malone chuckled. "Are you guys ready for that?"
"Our ranks were once filled with far worse men. We'll survive. I look at him as my penance."
Stephanie and Mark spoke a moment in a quiet tone. They'd already said their goodbyes in private. She appeared calm and relaxed. Apparently, their salutation had been amenable. Malone was glad. Peace needed to be made there.
"What will happen with the ossuary and testimony?" Malone asked Mark.
No brothers were nearby, so he felt safe discussing the point.
"That will stay sealed away. The world is content with what it believes. I'm not going to mess with that."
Malone agreed.
"Good idea."
"But this order will reemerge," Mark said.
Cassiopeia nodded. "I've already talked to Mark about becoming involved in the charitable organization I head. The worldwide AIDS effort and famine prevention could use an influx of capital, and this order now has a lot to spend.
Henrik has lobbied hard, too, for us to get involved with his favorite causes," Mark said, "and I've agreed to help there. So the Knights Templar will be busy. Our skills can be put to great use."
Malone extended his hand, which Mark shook.
"I believe the Templars are in good hands. The best of luck to you."
"You too, Cotton. And I still want to know about that name."
"Sure. You call me one day and I'll tell you all about it."
They climbed into the rental with Malone driving. As they settled in and buckled their seatbelts, Stephanie said,
"I owe you one."
He stared over at her.
"That's a first."
"Don't get accustomed to it."
He smiled.
"Use it wisely."
"Yes, ma'am."
And he cranked the car.